Our Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Please follow along with the reading on page 617 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible. Listen for God's word. This is what I have seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of life God gives us. For this is our lot. Likewise, all to whom God gives wealth and possessions and whom he enables to enjoy them and to accept their lot and find enjoyment in their toil, this is the gift of God. For they will scarcely brood over the days of their lives because God keeps them occupied with the joys of their hearts. The word of the Lord.
Our New Testament lesson continues to be in the Sermon on the Mount that we started last Sunday. Pastor Joanne talked about the Beatitudes and about being salt and light. And now we pick up with Jesus continuing his teaching to those who are gathered around him. We are in chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of the Lord. He was that guy. He was that guy that we always hoped would not show up. One of the best things my former congregation ever did was when we were getting ready to build a new fellowship hall, we decided to build a gym. And it was wonderful because it was in use all the time. Community groups, children, teen basketball leagues, scouts, you name it, they used it. But the best use of it was twice a week men's pickup basketball. And so for 15 years, I would go almost twice a week and play, and it was great. There were no referees. It was call your own foul. Any of you ever play in a call your own foul league? Yeah. All right. And it was really good because most of the guys and some women, we had some women who'd been high school and college players, would come out and play with us. And you seldom, if ever, called a foul. Only when someone did something totally egregious would you ever call a foul. And so the games were fast-paced. They were fun. Until that guy showed up. I don't remember his name. All I remember is he is that guy. And as soon as he walked in the gym, the rest of us would just look at each other and go, ah. Because everything was a foul. You touched him. Oh, that's a foul. You nudged him under the basket. That's a foul. You got close to him and breathed on him. That's a foul. He was the only guy who would ever call traveling or double dribble. No one else paid any attention, but he had to call it. And what that meant was the game just dragged to a stop. Because we being guys, we had to argue about it. Anyway. So you get the point. It was as if it wasn't about playing the game. It was only about the rules. Any of you ever work with someone like that. I mean, that guy that playing the game didn't matter. It was just making sure the rules were followed exactly. And I have to say, every time I read this piece of the Sermon on the Mount, I just take a deep breath and say, Jesus, why are you that guy? Because when you listen to this, doesn't this sound like he's that guy? Don't think I've come to abolish the law. No, no, no. Not even a stroke of a pen of one letter of the law will be done away with. Those who follow every law, they will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and anyone who doesn't follow them will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. Sure sounds like that guy. And then Jesus goes on. What I didn't read was he said things like, well, you remember Moses said, you shall not murder. Well, I'll tell you, don't be angry, because if you're angry, you've murdered someone. Moses said, don't commit adultery. But I tell you, if you lust after someone in your heart, you've committed adultery. So this is legalism. And then he comes down to verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. He's the guy you don't want walking in the gym. He is that guy. And what's interesting is the church became that church. The church became the rule giver and the rule keeper. What? You're not Jewish? You can't be part of the church. You have to become Jewish before you can become a Christian. Oh, wait. Well, I guess we can let you in, but here are still some rules you still have to follow. What? There were women in leadership in the early church. Oh, wait. No, we have new rules. We found new rules here. And these rules say women can't be leaders in the life of the church. Wait, we've created all of these doctrines and all of these rules for the church. And as long as you obey them and follow them, but we're going to be watching you. The instant you cross one of those, we're going to blow the whistle. It's a foul and you're out of the gang. You drank a beer. You smoked. You went dancing. We're going to blow the whistle. You are out of the game. One of my favorite stories of that is, for those of you who were longtime members, you knew Tenney Brinkman. Tenney just, for 40 years, was the custodian of the history of this church. And one day she was going through the minutes of the church and she ran and said, John, you've got to read this piece of the minutes of the session. And I said, okay. And what it was is that there was this guy who was a member, and they caught him harvesting his wheat on the Sabbath. And it wasn't just the first time, it was the second time. And two strikes and he was out. They disfellowshipped him. We aren't going to have anyone working on the Sabbath. That's a violent... This is the 1800s, by the way, so just... Right, and so somehow the church found itself being that guy. But what if that's not at all what Jesus was about here? What if instead Jesus is about playing the game and not focusing on the rules? Now, let me explain what the game is here. The game is life. It's about living life to the fullest. You remember the piece that Diane read out of Ecclesiastes? This is such a great book. It is fitting to eat and to drink and to find enjoyment under the toil you are under. And if you have found yourself with goods, you are to enjoy them. They are a gift of God. That the entire Hebraic way of seeing the world is that the bottom line of the world is that we are to enjoy life. We are to enjoy everything that life brings. Food, wine, shelter, friends, music, fellowship. We are to enjoy this creation and this life that God has given us because it is a gift and we are to appreciate it. That's the game. God didn't call people to be ascetics, to live in a cave someplace and be like John the Baptist eating crickets. This is not the call of God. The call of God is to be in the game, enjoying life in all its richness. And so what if this is what Jesus is calling us to focus on being in the game and not focus on the rules of the game? Well, I believe that's what he's doing. And I say that because of verse 20. Now, I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to ask you, okay, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. How many of you see that as a rule-keeping negative statement? Right. Wrong. This is not a rule-keeping negative statement. This is a positive statement of living in the game. Why? Because righteousness is a positive attribute. Righteousness means doing the right thing, living rightly with God, rightly with neighbor. It means loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means loving your neighbor as yourself. The focus of righteousness is not on the rules that form up the boundaries of the game. Righteousness is about this sense of one engaging positively in life. Now, let me say one last thing about the game. This is a team sport. Righteousness is a team sport. It's not about me and Jesus and keeping the rules. It is about being part of God's worldwide community and helping to ensure that what we have, the blessings that we have been given, as Joanne said last week, become the blessings that we share with others. Righteousness is about if you and I have enough to eat, we are to be sure others have enough to eat. If you and I have a place to live, it's about ensuring that others have a place to live. If you and I and our children and grandchildren have good schools, it is about making sure that everybody else has good schools. Because everyone is supposed to enjoy the fullness of life, not just us, not just if we think maybe we've earned it or deserved it. No. All of this is a gift of God. And so therefore, because it is a gift of God, even if we've worked really hard for it, we are called to share it with those around us in such a way that they too live into this rich, full life. This is righteousness. This is what it means to do the right thing. Not worrying about the rules, but doing what we know to be God's will for us and for the world. Now, Some of you may be thinking, okay, John, he still talks about the rules. He says we're not getting rid of the rules. Well, that's right. Why? Because every game needs rules. Right? Can you imagine trying to play golf without any rules? Hey, you know, I'm just going to take my ball and I'll walk down to the cup and I'll just drop it in. Or how many of you play bridge? Any of you play bridge? Okay. You know, you say, okay, listen, spades or trump, there's the ace of spades. And someone goes, hey, there's the two of spades, I win. You know, without rules, it's chaos. Without rules, everything comes apart. And the rules that God has given are rules that form the boundary of what right life looks like. And in addition, most of the rules are positive rules. Care for the refugee. Care for the stranger. Feed the hungry. Make sure the poor have enough. The rules guide us in doing what is right. They don't simply restrict us from doing what's wrong. And so to be more righteous than the Pharisees means that our task is to live into the right. It is not to focus on what others may do wrong or what we do wrong. It is to focus on doing what is good and right and holy and wonderful and compassionate. This is what Jesus was about. This is what it means to be more righteous than the Pharisees. And there are lots of ways to do this. Okay? I mean, there are just so many ways to do this. So many ways to live rightly in life. But during this Lenten season, we're going to encourage you to do one particular thing that's right. And no, I am not going to try and put these on. This is denim. Okay? How many of you have a pair of these that would fit you about like these would fit me at home? How many of you have an extra pair laying around? What we're going to encourage you to do is to find that old pair of denim, or maybe go to the store and pick up several yards of denim and bring it in. Why? Because we are engaging in something called Soul Hope, S-O-L-E, Soul Hope. You can read about it. Look in your first things. It is in there. This is a program where we will take this cloth, and on the 2nd of April, we will cut it up around shoe patterns, and then we will ship it to Africa where they will put these together into shoes for people who have none, for people who live in areas where there are waterborne illnesses that come up through their feet that debilitate and kill them. And it's that simple. To do the right doesn't mean you have to save the world. But with an old pair of jeans, you can help save people's lives. You can do what is right. And so that, my friends, is my challenge to you for this week, is to ask yourself, how am I living in the right? Loving God and neighbor, and then challenging you to find some simple denim and bring it in and help change someone's life forever. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have given us so much, that you have given us roofs over our head, you have put food on our tables. Help us to be part of that team. Help us to play the game and help others to be able to live fully into life in the way that we are. In Christ's name, amen.